Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. And I can attest from Susan's forecast there that the winds are picking up and definitely blowing strongly from the south. So you might want to get real bundled up. And it, Susan, I want to just tell you my heart warmed as I heard the temperatures in the week ahead.
I know. It's very chilling. And then I hadn't realized that that's some 15 degrees below average.
Yes.
Not cool.
No.
I mean, it is cool, but.
Cool in a bad way.
Yes.
But, and what's the supposed to be the worst day, Wednesday?
Or the worst day they were saying is Wednesday. I can't remember exactly what that it just spirals downward. And then when you weave in the wind chills, it's not good times.
No, and actually, in a long-range forecast I saw for 1 week from today, single digit. 30 degrees on Saturday, and then crashing down to single digit on Sunday.
Yeah, it's like they wait until the weekend, and then people want to be happy on the weekend, and then we had the storm last weekend, this weekend, next weekend, we've got single digits. I don't know.
And all we've got is the Bears. You know, I mean, at least we've got the Blackhawks tonight.
We do.
Yeah, the Bears playing Detroit in Detroit, in the Dome up there.
Yeah, that might not be. We might have some upset fellows at 3 p.m.
What do you think? I ran into them last week, and because I was working, I didn't get to see any of the game, so I was quite surprised to see that the Bears had pulled out a victory, but. Oh, thank goodness we've got the Blackhawks.
True, and we do have Hamp and Obi and Kaz, and they are a hoot to listen to no matter what the situation is.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, this has been such an interesting week in national politics. I played earlier a cut of President-elect Trump talking about building up the military, but we also had President Obama speaking to troops at MacDill Air Force Command Base in Florida and thanking them and talking about the work that they have done after 9/11.
Because of you, this 9/11 generation of heroes has done everything asked of you and met every mission tasked to you. We are doing what we set out to do. Because of you, Osama bin Laden is no more. Because of you, the core al-Qaeda leadership in Afghanistan and Pakistan has been decimated. Because of you, Afghans are reclaiming their communities. Afghan forces have taken the lead for their country's security. In 3 months, because of you, our combat mission will be over in Afghanistan, and our war in Afghanistan will come to a responsible end.
That's President Obama speaking to the troops at MacDill Air Force Base in Florida. Joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is a good friend of the program, my good friend, Michael Golden. He's the author of Unlock Congress and recently wrote in the New York Daily News kind of how liberals should come to grips with the fact that Donald Trump is the president-elect.
It's a difficult thing to do, right? Even for a lot of people who aren't liberals. It's good to see you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you. I want to get your thoughts on kind of this, and the first time I'm addressing this morning, this kind of latest dust up over the issue of you have the Washington Post reporting that the CIA assessment that Russia was actively working to try to help Donald Trump win the White House. New York Times had a story as well and citing reports of hacking going on over in the Republican National Committee, something that Sean Spicer, their spokesman, has adamantly denied. But, this raises a whole new specter. And then when you look at, you know, the president-elect's rumored now favorite choice to be Secretary of State.
Tillerson.
Tillerson, who, you know, is won, I guess, was awarded Russia's top award by Putin. You know, and of course, then you have some of these other groups talking about faithless electors, and is this a factor that might switch electors or whatever? And quite frankly, I don't really buy into the whole electors issue as much as some people are working on it. But seriously, these kind of concerns that have been around for quite some time about Donald Trump, his relationship with Russia and Putin, and I think there's some very really valid concerns among Republicans in Congress about this.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the Republican Congress is of two minds, right? And it's ironic. One of them is they can't wait. Paul Ryan seems like a kid in a candy store. He can't wait to start passing this conservative agenda, this by the a new way, going back to right. Robert Redford, right, in 1974, a new way agenda of conservative reforms and legislation. And at the same time, they're still, you know, slapping themselves in the face in the morning to make sure this is reality when they see the other decisions that Donald Trump is making. And, you know, this whole cycle was unprecedented, and now we're in an unprecedented transition period with somebody tweeting and attacking, you know, individual union leaders by name, death threats and so forth. But the strangest thing to me is that it's a brave new world when it comes to how the media figures out how to cover this guy, because he's still doing misdirection plays every day. Just when they're starting to look into Tillerson, or just when they're starting to look into Russia or this or that, he'll tweet something about, you know, that he won by 3 million votes, you know, and then off the media goes for a day and a half. And I'm not even blaming the media anymore. I'm not sure what you do when a president or president-elect says things. To most of us, words matter, and you have to cover it, because the world is watching and listening.
Well, but do words matter anymore?
Well, don't.
I ask that in a very real, and as a reporter, I mean, in a very troubling sense.
It's a terrifying question to be serious about.
Yes. Because to me, words do matter. I help out literacy
as do
volunteers,
I.
And I talk about political literacy and pay attention to what candidates say.
Well, I'm laughing because you laugh or you cry. I mean, I you know how I am, and we're both writers. I feel the same way. And by the way, just about every progressive, liberal, whatever you want to call it, feels the same way. You know, there was that phrase on national television that's survived now for a few months about Trump, which was pretty astute at the time, and that was when someone said Trump supporters take him seriously, the press, the elites, whatever you want to call it, his opponents take him literally, and vice versa, right? And it makes sense if you think about it. It's a very clever turn of phrase, and I get it. After this whole year, if I've learned nothing, I've learned that people hear this stuff differently and are motivated for all different kinds of reasons, not just red, blue, left, right, but those are still his words, and this is not just about Trump supporters and how they hear him. It's about how he is president, whether we like it or not, in a country with the rule of law for all of us. And by the way, the world's listening to his every word. It's not just taking a phone call from the president of Taiwan because you want to be congratulated and you're maybe trying something new if there is any strategy to it.
Right.
It's not always that simple. There are things that are in place that at least need to be, you know, norms that need to be respected just from a historical vantage point in the United States, I think.
We're speaking with Michael Golden, the author of Unlock Congress, and has a new podcast out, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, that you'll be on soon, The Golden Mean.
And where can you find that podcast, by the way?
You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on michaelgolden.me. I appreciate it. And it's not just my name. It's a philosophical concept, the Golden Mean, which has to do with moderation and centrism and pragmatism, which we haven't seen in our government in quite some time.
We'll be speaking more with Michael. First, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. Welcome Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by my good friend Michael Golden, the author of Unlock Congress. And we're talking about how Democrats, liberals come to terms with a new Trump presidency. And actually, we've got a call from our friend Ron. Ron, happy holidays and welcome back to the Sunday Spin.
And happy holidays to you also, Rick. Mr. Golden, my question to you, kind of maybe compare and contrast it. When President Obama won first election, then the Republican Party kind of galvanized their base in opposition to him, and they did take the House 2 years later. I wanted to ask you, what do you think the Democrats, how will they respond? I think they do need something to galvanize the base, so just wanted to get your response on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. Actually, I'm really glad you asked that question because I get a chance to do what I didn't before and address what Rick was saying. The column that I wrote in the New York Daily News was about just that. And it was also about for people like me who really strenuously opposed Donald Trump and just about everything that he stood for. How do you reconcile this and come to terms with the fact that he's, unless something happens with the electors, which is unlikely but possible, that he's going to be president and you're going to have two chambers of Congress that are in Republican control, although they have a thin, as I call it, a prosciutto thin majority in the Senate and don't have 60 votes to break cloture. But to your question, I thought I was going to get vitriolically attacked for writing that I think that Democrats should work where they can with the Republicans and the president. I don't think they should take the same stance. I think it'd be incredibly hypocritical to begin with, as the Republicans did 8 years ago when they literally got together the night of President Obama's inauguration. And it's very well documented, and you can even ask some of the Republicans who were there. And they decided that night they weren't going to let him pass anything, and that they long before Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader, came out and said, we want to make him a one-term president. That's our first goal. I don't think that that's how our democracy is supposed to work. And here's the other thing. I think it sets up a false choice. I don't think that you have to oppose everything of the new administration to win back seats or majorities. It's hard, and the as Rick knows, I write about a lot, the U.S. House map is rigged for the Republicans in a way similar to the national map, what we all, with conventional wisdom, thought the map was rigged to the Democrats until Donald Trump broke that blue wall. But if you recall, the Democrats worked in the early 2000s with the Bush administration and two Republican chambers of Congress. They did work, and to our detriment on some of those policies, but they did stand up to him on other things. And the Democrats took back the House and the Senate. It was the last campaign I ran, so I remember it well. It was a highlight that night of 2006. And 2 years later, we had a historic new presidency with the first African-American president in our country's history. And whether you liked him or didn't like him or liked his policies or not, he did groundbreaking things in terms of passing legislation the first 2 years of his presidency. So I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think that the Democrats are going to work with the Republicans to specifically to your question, Ron, where they can. And also they'll use the leverage and combine with some of the Republicans in Congress who differ with Trump on some things. That's how politics works. And sometimes when people who aren't super nerds like me, people who don't follow it quite as closely, there's a lot of wrangling that goes on even within a political party. And then when that happens, the other party sees it and smells blood and figures out, what can we get here? How do we leverage this power? Because there's a split between the White House and Paul Ryan or McConnell or whatever. And then they get some of what they want. And by the way, that's part of how the stimulus bill was passed. It was negotiated because they needed a few Republican votes in the Senate. And, if the Democrats did exactly what they wanted and what President Obama wanted, it wouldn't have had as many tax cuts as were in there that got underpublicized, if you ask me. But I think that the Democrats are going to work where they can, and it's just not like progressives generally to obstruct everything. Some people may say, that's naive, and you're going to lose the midterms, and, well, the midterms are already going to be hard. In the meantime, I don't want our country to fall behind.
But as you broach this in a pragmatic way, it seems like issues like pragmatism are irrelevant in today's form of politics, that it is truly a winner-take-all game, that compromise is a dirty word, that it's abandoning principles. I mean, it's we'd like to see a pragmatism.
Right.
I just don't know if it exists anymore in the climate that we're in.
Well, I mean, if you ask me, and you are, it doesn't.
Yes, I am.
It certainly doesn't exist the way that it used to. And you know, I wrote a whole book about that. And I argue, and not in the time we have here, but for a set of 4 to 5 major rule reforms. To make that better and make because it's not. I don't believe it's just the people. I believe that the rules, and especially the money. You were talking with Mike Frericks, right? A little bit about the money, and also about voting rights. And there are rules that have changed in our systems of election and governance that make this harder for them all to do this together anymore. Not that it was ever peaceful and easy. It's not. It's set up with a difficult separation of branches.
But there seemed to be a goal of wanting to get
things done. And the other part is, and this is the part that's harder to solve than just changing the rules or even the Constitution, is that, as you know, but a lot of folks may not be aware of, there's been a whole political realignment regionally in this country over the last 30 years. We have self-sorted ourselves. There's actually a book about this called The Big Sort by Bill Bishop. And over the last 3 to 4 decades, we've moved to places in the country where there were like-minded folks, where people agree with us. If you live in, you know, New England, if you you're not likely to have a Republican member of Congress because of winner-take-all and single-member districts. If you live in Nebraska, if you live in, you know, Arkansas, if you live in those states, you can just look at the map. And that's a trickier thing, which is why I'm for multi-seat districts and proportional, you know, it's called proportional representation in other countries, and with ranked choice voting, so it's not this one or the other. And then you get, like you said, when you have winner-take-all in single-member districts, you could have 49% of people voting for a candidate, an ideology, a set of ideas. They lose. They get no representation in Congress. That's people don't realize that's not how it works in Australia and Israel. There are other countries where
and it's not how it used to work in Illinois.
In Illinois, that's absolutely right. And a bipartisan commission headed by, I believe it was Abner Mikva and former Governor Edgar, they studied this, how it changed in Illinois, in the Illinois legislature. And when they would change the number of seats and made it single member, a bipartisan commission studied this and said, this worked better before. There was more negotiation. There were more common sense legislation passed, and we missed that. And in our Congress, Rick, we really miss it.
And frankly, it created a middle ground. Michael Golden, author of Unlock Congress, the Golden Mean podcast. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure. It's always great to be on WGN with you guys.
We'll be back with more right after this.